the globe, transforming lives into legacy. Living Word with Pastor Mensah Otutu. And now, today's word.
I'm doing part four of my series. I've titled Living in Expectancy. Living in Expectancy. We've talked a lot about living in expectancy, that each one of us have something we want in our lives. It's something we're expecting to happen. And most of the time, it's good. We want good things for ourselves. We want a good life. We want to be blessed financially. We want to be healthy. We just sang, He's able to do much more than we can ever ask or think. That is scriptural. That's expectation. But expectations don't always happen. There are things we have to do so that our expectations become a reality. And today I'm talking about fighting for it, fighting for your expectation. If you have an expectation, you want God to do something for you, you're looking forward to something great in your life, it's not going to land in your laps by accident. You have to learn to fight for it. And we're going to look at a couple of scriptures that will position our minds on how we fight for our expectations. Let's begin with 1 Corinthians chapter 16, and we'll be reading verses 8 and 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verses 8 and 9. And it reads, "But I will tarry in Ephesus until Pentecost, for a great and effective door has been opened to me, and there are many adversaries." At the time Paul wrote 1 Corinthians, he was in Ephesus. And so from Ephesus, he's writing to the Corinthian church, and he tells them in the process about something that is happening to him in Ephesus. So although the letter, at this point of the letter, he's talking to the Corinthians, he's referencing something that is happening in Ephesus. And it's always important to understand the context within which passages in the Bible are written so that you can properly understand and position it well. So Paul is writing to the Corinthians, but he's writing about something happening to him in Ephesus. And he says he will stay there in Ephesus and wait until the Feast of Pentecost before he would make other plans. And so Paul describes the situation in Ephesus. And what does he say? He says, first thing, that a door has opened to me. He's saying, I have access. We have access. We have opportunity. The Greek word that he uses to describe the opportunity is a powerful door. A powerful door has opened. He's saying something powerful has opened to me. Can you imagine when you're living in your life, you come to a point in your life and you just feel something big. These days we say something mega has happened to me. A great door, a powerful door, an effective door has been opened to me. And may the Lord open effective doors unto you. You know, there are moments in our lives when you just feel a door has opened. You just feel something is working great for me. God has opened a door. And that's what Paul is saying. In Ephesus, he says a great and a mighty door has opened. Now you need to understand what is happening to Paul in Ephesus to understand why he talks about this. Because if you look at Acts chapter 19, which records Paul's stay in Ephesus, and a bit into chapter 20, then he says there are adversaries. Who are the adversaries? He describes one of them, Demetrius. Who is Mr. Demetrius? Mr. Demetrius is a coppersmith. He makes images of the chief deity of Ephesus. The chief deity of Ephesus, the chief goddess of Ephesus, is Artemis or Diana. And they make images of it just like people carve images at the art center. And people who go to Ephesus, everybody goes to buy the gods, the images of Diana. Demetrius is the main producer of this. So he calls all the craftsmen who make these idols and say, hey, Business is under threat. This Paul is spoiling our business. And not only here in Ephesus, but everywhere he goes, he's telling people that gods made with man's hands are useless. So nobody's buying our gods again. So let us go out and get rid of Paul. So Paul says, a door has opened. I am seeing miracles. But there is Demetrius. There are many adversaries. And not only Demetrius is an adversary, there are other adversaries who are the seven sons of Sceva, other people trying to imitate Paul's ministry and throwing confusion in the minds of people. So Paul recognizes, in the midst of my expectation being met, there are adversaries. Because believe you me, your breakthrough is somebody's breakdown. Your joy is somebody's sadness. And the person is not going to fold his hand and say, oh, hallelujah, he's doing well. Let me encourage him. They will come after you. And don't be surprised that sometimes your greatest adversary shows up when the greatest door is open. A door has opened. There are many adversaries. What are you going to do when in the midst of your breakthrough, you have harsh responses? Now, this is where a lot of people abandon their expectations. Too much trouble. They expect life to be smooth sailing, life to be problem-free, that when their things are going on, everybody will rejoice with them. So, in the midst of your breakthrough, in the midst of the joy, in the midst of God's favor, in the midst of all the good things happening, expect Demetrius is going to show up. Sometimes Demetrius shows up in your office. Sometimes Demetrius shows up in your marriage. Marriage is getting on well, everything, oh, this is the best time of our marriage, and then Demetrius shows up. Lady Demetrius. Or Madame Demetrius, or Mr. Demetrius shows up. So, our expectations are always surrounded with battle, warfare. And you have to be ready to fight for it. Somebody say, I'm going to fight for it. Now, many of us know how to fight against things, but we don't know how to fight for things. We know how to fight against enemies. And in Ghana, you know, our enemies are very simple, witches and wizards. We know how to fight against them, but most of us don't know how to fight for the things that we want, for our expectation, for the good things that God has given to us. So I'll take you to another scripture and to show you how to fight for the things that God has given to you. We go to 2 Samuel chapter 23, verses 11 and 12. Now, 2 Samuel chapter 23 is talking about a group of people called David's mighty men. And these are great warriors who stood with David before he became king. They gathered around him and fought with him. And also when he became king, they fought to protect him. And the Bible enumerates them. And in 2 Samuel chapter 23, verses 11 and 12, it talks about a particular person among David's mighty men and what he did. And I want you to listen carefully. From verse 11, and after him was Shammah, the son of Agi, the Hararite. The Philistines had gathered together into a troop where there was a piece of ground full of lentils. So the people fled from the Philistines. But he, Shammah, stationed himself in the middle of the field, defended it, and killed the Philistines. So the Lord brought about a great victory. Shammah is a warrior. Incidentally, his name Shammah means desert or dry place. But his life is not dry. His life is very exciting and is very fruitful. And Shammah is attacked. The event took place most likely during the time of harvest in Israel. Shammah and his friends are expecting a great harvest, and then the enemy shows up. At the time when they feel, I've worked so hard, I've planted, I've waited, it's the harvest season, I'm going to reap my harvest, the Philistines show up. And they said, no, you're not going to take what you have worked for, we're going to take it from you. So the Philistines come to attack. And we see how Shammah responds. Many times when we go through difficulty, we ask, why? Why am I going through this? Why the attack? Why was Shammah attacked? Why did the Philistines come against him? Is it because he was a handsome man? Maybe he was. Why was he attacked? And the passage shows us why. First, we are attacked because we are different. We are different. There are people who are Philistines. And the Philistines are against the Israelites because the Israelites are a different people. The word Philistine literally means a people of another tribe. In social commentary, a Philistine is one who is hostile and ignorant, especially in the arts. In the Bible, it is used for people who are not on God's side. One of the things you're going to rest assured in, if you are a born-again Christian, people will hate you for nothing. It comes with the terrain. The day you said, Lord Jesus, come into my heart, be my Lord and Savior, you enlisted into God's army, and instantly you had automatic enemies. Years ago, I wasn't even a pastor then. I was in a Christian fellowship. And one of the young ladies in the fellowship, you know, came to me and says, you know, Brother Mensah, you know, I don't want to be in the devil's bad books. And I said, what do you mean by that? He said, I don't want the devil to hate me. I said, then don't get born again, because he hates you for giving your life to the Lord Jesus Christ. For your information, my friends, you are in the devil's bad books. I'll say to the people in the middle. For your information, you are in the devil's bad books. They didn't respond. For your information here, you are in the devil's bad books. I see you are not happy. You don't want to be in the devil's bad books. But you don't ever consider that you are also in God's good books. You see, once you are in God's good books, you are in the devil's bad books. It's the ledger book. If you are in the asset, you also be on the other side. So you are in God's good books, you are in the devil's bad books. That's why Shammah is attacked, because there are Philistines who hate God's people. And the devil is going to inspire somebody to come against you. And sometimes they're going to come at your best moment in life, when everything is working. The harvest is ready. You are about to reap. Boom! They show up. They are like Demetrius. They show up when your door has opened. Somebody say, I'm different. We are tagged because we are different. Secondly, we are attacked because we have potential. We have potential. Shammah had a piece of land. He had managed to acquire land in enemy territory. The land is potential. Land is nothing, but it shows you can do something. If you have land, you can build. If you have land, you can farm. If you have land, you can do something. The land itself is nothing, but it shows what you can do. He had a piece of land. It's not even a massive land, it's just a piece of land. And not only that, we are tagged because we are productive, we are fruitful, we're producing results. The land is full of lentils. So can you imagine? He's a foreigner, he's acquired land, and the land is producing results. That's why he's attacked. If he sat down doing nothing, just hiding and praying, nobody would attack him. If he sat down with no potential, nobody would attack him. The thing about life is that sometimes your enemy sees more potential in you than you see in yourself. Yeah? Herod saw potential in Jesus. The people of Bethlehem saw another baby that has been born in a manger. No potential. Father is poor, mother is poor, born in a manger, he's going nowhere. But Herod in Jerusalem saw potential in this baby in Bethlehem, and so decided we have to get rid of him. Woe on you when your enemy sees more in you than you see in yourself. He thought he just had a piece of land. He just thought, oh, this is my harvest of lentils. But for the Philistines, it's a big deal. And so they came against him. Your potential attracts attacks. Who you are going to be is the reason why you are fighting your battles today. Everything happening to you, every attack you're facing today is because of what God wants you to be tomorrow. Your potential is attracting attacks. And that's what Shammah is going through. And interestingly, when the Philistines showed up, everybody ran. Have you considered that probably you are running away from your potential, from your assigned place, from your purpose? Because life is too hard. Life is too hard. Everybody hates me. Everywhere I go, people hate me. That's good life. It means everywhere you go, people see potential. Everywhere you go, they see what you're going to be. You don't run from potential. You fight for your potential. Somebody said, I'm going to fight for it. So let's see how Shammah responds and how we must fight. Verse 12 says, but he stationed himself in the middle of the field, defended it, and killed the Philistines. So the Lord brought about a great victory. First thing, if you're going to fight, position yourself in your inheritance. That's exactly what Shammah did. He did not abandon the ground that the Lord had given to him. He acknowledged his inheritance. He stayed in it. He didn't leave it. As Christians, God has given us great and precious promises. That's our inheritance. When you go through difficulty, don't abandon the ground. Stay in the ground. Stay in your inheritance. Stay in the promises of God. Stay in the word of God. The battle is going to be severe, but you're going to stay. Somebody say, I'm going to fight. Because the expectation of the righteous shall be fulfilled. But if the righteous runs away from the expectation, it will not be fulfilled. You have to stay. Shammah positioned. They left him alone. Everybody left him. Because the Philistines are a troop. And everybody left him. And he's alone with a gang of military men from the Philistine army. The troop. And his friends have abandoned him. Because sometimes that's how life is. When you are in the greatest battle, people abandon you. Doesn't mean you should also abandon yourself. Everybody abandons you, but you're going to stay. Somebody say, I'm staying to fight. God has a plan for your life. It will attract attacks, but you don't run. You station yourself in the field and you fight. And not only did he position himself in the field, the Bible says he defended it. We protect what God has given to us, our destiny. We protect his calling on our lives. We protect the purpose he has for us. If God wants me to be great, I'm not going to mess up my life. I'm not going to destroy my own potential. You're protected. He defended the land. He defended his lentils. Somebody who said, hey, why do you stand here and fight for lentils? After all, your life is more important than lentils. But you see, in life, if you run away from this battle, you run away from the next one too. And you run away from the next one too. Sometimes in life, you just stay and fight. You just stay and fight. If you allow them to run you out of this, you go there, somebody's going to run you out of that. And you go there, somebody's going to run you out. At some point, you have to say, I make my stand. And I take my stand in this field. And I fight and I defend what God has promised me and what God has given to me. You have to fight for it. It's like buying land in Accra. I'm telling you. It's something else. You know, in the life of this church, we bought a lot of land and we've lost some. I'll never forget land we bought in a particular area before the area developed. We had about 20 plots of land in that area. We're one of the first people to buy land. But there was a lot of litigation and fighting. This is about 30 or more years ago. And the guy who was selling the land to us, one day we went in the land and he had been killed on the land. Yeah. This one was brutal. I said, hey. Leave the land. I left it. They didn't fight for it. Then we went on another land in another part of Accra. Before anybody went there, we had large plot. Same thing happened. They killed somebody on the land. I said, hey. And when we came on this land, you know, today you can sit here and clap and rejoice. You have no idea. You have no idea the battle to secure almost 30 acres of land in this area. I wouldn't tell you what we did. But I said, I've run away from one, I've run away from the other, and I noticed the pattern. If you run, you keep running. If you run, you keep running. At one point, you have to decide, I'm staying. I am Shama. I am Shama. I am Shama. This is my land. This is my inheritance. This is God's promise. And I'm not going to go into much detail. But we did some stuff. Because we had to fight. Not just fight in prayer. That we did. But sometimes you have to be Shama. And you have to fight. And you have to secure your inheritance. Because if we had run, this building will not be here. You will not be here. For every promise that God gives you, there will be adversaries. Some are Demetrius. Some are Philistines. They will show up in your open door. They will show up in your lentil farm. They will show up in the place of promise. And when they show up, You have to fight. And the Bible says he killed the Philistines. He pushed them back. He pulverized them. And he took that land. And I like how the Bible ends with that story. It says, and the Lord gave him great victory. In other words, God was with Shammah all along. God was in him. God was directing him. I'm sure when he was fighting, he didn't feel God. He probably thought, I'm alone. God has abandoned me. God is not here. But he fought. And when he finished, the Bible says, it was all God. It was all God. It was all God. You are in a battle today. It's all God. I said, it's all God. He's with you in that battle, and you're not going to run. Somebody say, I'm not going to run. Say, I'm fighting for my expectation. I'm fighting for my destiny. I'm fighting for my future. No running. No running. No running. No running. We're staying. Listen to me. Some of you have run like I did. You've run for too long. And you've been running since then. Because anytime you see trouble, you run. You see trouble, you run. You see danger, you run. And the devil has mapped you out. Just show him Kakamotobi and he's going to run. And all he does is to show you masqueraders and masqueraders and masqueraders. And you've been running and running and running and running and running. And you have nothing to show for your life. But in this season, I pray for you. I pray for the courage that God gave to the Apostle Paul to face Demetrius. I'm praying for the courage that God gave to Shammah to face the Philistines. I pray for a fighting spirit. I pray for a fighting spirit. I pray for a fighting spirit. For a spirit of courage, boldness. You will not run. The enemies may be a troop. You may be alone. You will not run. Because in the end, it's all God. And he's going to give you the victory. So, Father, I pray for everyone at the sound of my voice. Let today be the day for taking a stand. From today, there will be no running. There will be no turning back. There will be no fear. From today, we take our stand in your promises. In your purposes, in your expectation. There may be a troop against us, but we stand in the name of the Lord to fight. May you grant victory to your children, O Lord, in every battle they are involved in. Let this be the day when they start fighting, and let us come to that day when it was said, and the Lord wrought a great victory over the Philistines. May that be your testimony. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to Live and Word. To interact with Pastor Mensah Otobi, like his page on Facebook. Follow him on Twitter at Mensah Otobi. Email otobi@centralgospel.com or call +233 302 688 000.
Joy 99.7 FM.
Happy Father's Day.